What's up? Welcome to the Confluence VC podcast. This podcast is meant to give you a personal glimpse into the next era of investors and operators. This week we talked to Tim Flannery of Passthrough. For those that don't know, Passthrough is a fund automation workflow tool for investors, fund managers, and other fintechs. They make investing in the private markets as simple and easy as Robinhood did for public stocks. In this talk, we talk about the old state of venture investing, the new state of venture investing, and why the market is ripe for new workflows.
Confluence World, what's up? Today we have a really cool guest. Sometimes we have fund managers, sometimes we have builders. And sometimes we have builders for fund managers. And in this case, it's not only standard fund managers, but it's the full stack from LPs down. With that, I'd like to intro Tim from Passthrough. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and maybe give us some insights into what you're building?
Yeah, thanks. First of all, thanks so much for having me on. I'm really excited to be on this. So a little background on me and how we got to here. I started my career at JP Morgan. I spent 5 years there, both in the asset and liabilities management desk and also somehow in the fund administration world. I left and raised a micro venture fund, went to business school. And then after business school, even though my background had been in operations and strategy, I took a sales job at Cardo. I was the only person in my entire class of 900 people who took a sales job. And I did it because I knew if I was going to go run a business one day, it would be helpful to learn how to go sell something. And so I ended up joining Carta out of business school and started off just as an individual contributor in sales. And I got to see how the progression of asset servicing and fund services over the past decade has moved. And we were on the cutting edge of it. And so I got to be up close and personal to what was really changing in venture. And venture had some of the most exciting stuff that was going on. And I got to go scale that organization there with my partners. And so I was lucky enough to meet them there too. And so I spent about 2.5 years at Carta. While I was there, I got promoted and ran, managed a team. And then I was the head of go-to-market and then left Carta. And my partners, Alex and Ben, Alex was the head of engineering at Carta Investor Services. And Ben was a operations and product leader. They had helped launch the investor services group. They built the investor portal. They launched a couple of other products. And then they did the initial launch of our fund administration product too. And so they got to know this really tricky problem of subscription documents and everything that's entailed in it. And they went off and they started Passthrough. And then they ended up convincing me to join as a co-founder. And we've had a pretty fun ride since. And essentially what we do is we work with venture fund managers, whether it's a micro fund or whether it's Sand Hill Road or whether it's somebody who has a multi-asset strategy and venture is just a part of it, to make sure that the investor onboarding process is absolutely seamless, so that they can get back to doing everything else that they need to do. And we just handle this one very narrow portion of their day, which is how do we help you onboard LPs so that you can actually just invest and make money for them instead.
That is beautiful. I'm sure a lot of the Confluence community feels that pressure. Can you talk about some of the acute problems or scenarios that you've seen your customer base go through so that the audience here can identify?
Yeah. So there's a couple of things that you need to do when you're onboarding LPs. So the first thing that you need to do is you work with your law firm. Your law firm gives you a subscription document, and the subscription document is unique to every law firm, sometimes unique to each partner, and it's definitely unique to each jurisdiction. And so these things are non-standard, and you or your law firm are sending them out to all of your investors, and your investors are having a very difficult time trying to understand what questions they should respond to because not every question is applicable. And again, there's no such thing as a standard. So even professional investors look at these things and they fill them out incorrectly the entire time. And so the first thing that you run into is LPs fill it out incorrectly. And so that means that you're trading multiple revisions with your law firm, which means it's costing you time. And time here slows down how quickly you can get capital in the door, but it also has a direct impact on your costs because you have billable hours that are associated with it. And so every single turn, you're slowing your time to close and you are just racking up bills. So that's number one. Number two, you have this really deep coordination challenge of how do I share my subscription document out to investors and how do I see where they are in the process? I can't because I'm sending out a PDF or a DocuSign and maybe I can see that they've opened it, but I can't actually see that they've progressed 40% of the way through or that they've brought in their private wealth manager or back office to help handle things or exactly what it is. So how do you actually herd the cats towards the close? You can't. But when it does come back, then you need to coordinate whatever your team is. And so every fund has a different set of people that they use to coordinate the close. For some of them, it's just the fund manager because I'm an emerging manager and my lawyer. For others, it's my lawyers, it's my fund administrator, it is my tax team, it's my compliance team, it's my, I could have a long variety of groups that are helping out with this. And everybody's looking at different versions of these documents. And so you start dealing with the exact same issues that, well, here's some comments back, but is this the right thing? Or my compliance team has these documents, but the other team doesn't. And so how, and so it's more of that back and forth. And then you have this whole issue of the data itself. So you have to collect this information because yes, you need to make sure that you are mitigating all of your risks and you're staying in compliance with every regulation, but you also need to get this information somewhere. So whether it's your CRM, whether you're using Salesforce or if you're using Affinity or something like that, or it's your investor portal or it's a million other places. And so right now what people have to do is literally try to decipher somebody's handwriting to take information out, go type it in somewhere else and upload it. That was our experience at Carta. So we would onboard clients left and right. And the way that you would onboard clients is we had teams of people that were actually trying to decipher somebody's handwriting. It wasn't a very good use of our time, just like it's not a good use of fund managers' time today. The other thing, and it's actually a brand new product that we launched, which is KYC AML. So onboarding investors isn't purely going out and collecting signatures on documents. It's actually taking these investors and screening them against sanctions lists, against politically exposed persons lists, against adverse media to decide whether or not you want to admit them into your fund. And this has had a ton of focus in the past year, especially with everything that we've seen going on in Ukraine. And so fund managers who before didn't even have to think too much about this are now being forced to think about, how do I actually make sure that I've got the right LPs in my fund? And how am I making sure that not only am I admitting them up front, but that I am making sure on an ongoing basis that these are people that I should be doing business with. And so we actually built a product that solves some similar related issues to what we did with fund closing for KYC AML. And that is, we help you structure the beneficial owners for all of your investors. And we allow them to provide information, decline to provide information, automatically screen it so that you can decide whether or not you want to bring them in. And all this is tracked in an audit history in case the SEC ever comes knocking. And not only do we help you do this on an initial basis, we also help you do this on a nightly basis to make sure that you always understand what kinds of risks that you have so that you can mitigate them as you see fit. And so all this to say that we do this one tiny thing of everything that you need to do with a fund, which is just get them on board and keep you safe.
Yo, that's beautiful. I was looking at your website and it's like, you can get this all done in as little as 6 minutes. Like when I think about the amount of times, like when I'm investing in funds, like the amount of time that we have to go back and forth on revisions and whatnot, and just even getting my legal team and my admin and whatnot looped in with theirs, I can't imagine getting that done in 6 minutes.
That website's dated. It's actually 2 minutes. The first time an investor comes through, if they fill out a subdoc in one sitting, it does take them about 20 minutes on average. And so normally that takes days or weeks for me to go fill stuff out. And I'm probably going to fill it out incorrectly. The second time I come through pass-through, though, I already have a profile that I've built. And I don't even know that I'm consciously building it. I'm just building it as a byproduct of filling out a subdoc. And so essentially the second time you just take a look and confirm your answer and sign. And so the theoretical limit on how quickly we can have an investor fill out a subdoc is how quickly can you get DocuSign to load? And so the 2-minute club has thousands of investors in it today. And we're continuing to grow that. So that way we turn this into something that looks a little bit more like instant checkout on Shopify instead of laborious process that everybody's used to.
Yeah, I love the network effects here. It's interesting because like from my perspective, the amount of funds that I invest in is the number of upsells you get from me or cross sells you get from me. And same thing for a fund manager, right? Like you get one fund manager who utilizes this effectively, whatever percentage of their LPs base, which can be 100 funds or 90 something funds, or investors can also come into the fold. That's really cool. How have you seen people adapt to it? Are you typically having fund managers pushing this or the LPs?
So it's actually all sides. One of the things that we love about subscription documents and onboarding is we have fund managers that just by helping them go out and manage the raise, we get to go meet their investors and we get to go meet their law firm and their fund administrator and anybody else that's involved with the close. And even though fund managers are our customers, when they all have good experiences, they just refer more business our way. So it's really efficient growth for us. But the proof's kind of in the pudding. Around 80% of our business is coming directly through the network. And so this is an LP who likes it that goes out and tells another fund manager, hey, my information's already on pass through. Please just use this. Or it's another law firm that just knows that it's way easier for their clients to be on us because we've got the tools that their associates and paralegals need to go manage the raise. And so that way they can actually do some work for that client that involves something more than chasing down signatures and checking that a name is accurate. And so with all those different things, it just drives inbound towards us. And our job is really just to convert on it.
Yo, I love the fact that so much of your growth has been driven by your users on both sides. Like, that type of phenomenon is rare, and it, to me, would explain why you've been able to have some pretty spicy news in regards to your recent fundraise in this market. How about, instead of talking about that directly, we start talking about why you're able to do such a great raise? Maybe what the market opportunity is and what the trends are in funds by volume, and maybe even a little bit about the business model so people here can get excited about maybe catching the next round or better understand how they can be customers.
Yeah. So I'll be honest, when my partners started this business, they left Carta. They saw that there was Carta and Google, and they saw that there was this opportunity to fix this workflow problem. And it's some themes that we were familiar with from our time at Carta, where they could go out and help people manage the closing process. And you had all this virality, and then it just would drive more and more natural growth to the business, and the network itself would be valuable. And I didn't buy it at first. And it's strange that I didn't buy it, considering I'd seen it firsthand at Carta, how we saw this work in another context. But eventually they decided that they wanted to go out and raise the seed round, and we started talking about it. And something became really apparent to me about why this was such an interesting opportunity. The first is that, like I said, it's really viral, right? You have fund managers who are literally just paying you to go meet everybody else that's involved in the raise, and your customer acquisition costs are so low. The second is, if you consider what's in a subscription document, if you consider what happens in KYC AML, everybody's asking for this information that's non-public. It's things like your name and your address, sure, but it's also your tax ID and your bank account and your relationship to every regulation under the sun. And one of the reasons that the private markets can be as inefficient as they are is because everybody's doing the same thing that we were doing at Carta, which is just trading these PDFs with unstructured data in it, and everybody was manually pulling it out. And just by having an investor step through our workflows, we get to passively build a profile for them. And we already talked about it. You can reuse it from one subscription document to the next. But besides you're using it across subscription documents, it's also useful across other contexts. So KYC is the most natural extension. So you take it, you run it against sanctions list to determine whether or not people might be laundering money through your fund. But then there's all sorts of other things with banking and tax and wealth management and more to come down the road. And so we've built a really efficient workflow, really simple to go out and have an LP come on and have them fill stuff out correctly and have them do it quickly, especially when they're at a profile, and great. The reason that we think this is a compelling opportunity, though, is because of that data, this nuanced financial identity information about these investors, being able to create this flexible profile. It's pretty difficult to do. And we think there's probably only going to be one set of information that people use across the private markets, and we aim for that to be us. And so what we got to watch over the last couple of years, before electronic subscription documents, they were a curiosity. 3 years ago, if you tried to go do this, your investors would look at you very confused because there was just nothing like this. Now we're at a time where in 2 years from now, if you sent out a paper subscription document, your investors would say, what are you doing? Why are you sending out paper? And so we've really gotten quite lucky with the timing on the market. And we've watched this adoption by hundreds of your traditional asset managers, whether they be venture funds or private equity or real estate or whatever it might be, if you're a $20 million fund or literally a $1 trillion global asset manager. So we saw that. The other thing that we saw was an interesting opportunity too, was at Carta, we had to go solve this. We had to solve it by building an onboarding tool that was useful just for Carta, but all that information was trapped in there. And that's the case, not just for Carta, but for every other provider that's going out there and building these onboarding solutions. And instead, they should just be able to build on us. And so all these workflows are available via API besides being available directly in our app. And so with that, what we want to do, the opportunity is to become the modern infrastructure of the private markets. And so our goal is really explicit. It's go become the default fund closing tool. And so what I hope that means is you as an investor, in a couple of years time, if you're getting a subscription document and it's not from pass-through or powered by pass-through, you're reaching out to your investors and saying, what are you doing? Can you please use pass-through? So that's our goal. And we think there's a lot of opportunities when you can go out and map that network then, because there's so much activity that can happen in the private markets that it's been so difficult to do thus far, because nobody's actually been able to understand who all of these different investors are, but also all the different transaction costs associated with them are so expensive because nobody's been able to build rails. You can't even understand what people own or what it's worth. And so we think there's a really large opportunity for us there. At the time, we've watched as alternative assets were alternative, and now they're no longer a niche asset class. Now it's something that's required in any sophisticated investor's portfolio. And there's been this just sea change. Individual investors used to be locked out of this. So sure, you could be accredited, but thanks to regulatory changes like Reg CF and the other rules around, the other draft rules around introducing LP limits and the ability to invest in through a 401k, and also just watching this rise of retail that we did over Robinhood over the last couple of years, great, they're all coming in. One bank we talk to processes 70,000 subscription documents a year. And so it's coming. There's more investors coming than ever before. There's more money that's ever been. That number is double what it was 2 years ago, and they expect it to double again in the next 2 years. And so with this giant rush of everybody into alts, whether it's asset managers that are trying to figure out how do I handle retail, or it's fintechs that are coming in to build, now is the time. Now is the time as we move this transition away from analog to digital. And now's the time where there's no such thing as standard information across all this. Instead, we can create that flexible investor profile. And so when you combine that with what our growth was over the last couple of years, it felt like a no-brainer for us to go raise, even in difficult economic environments, because we had an opportunity to just go grow a business that our margins are fantastic, or we could go be aggressive. And so we decided to go be aggressive, and we raised our Series A.
What was that process like for you?
It was an interesting one. At the beginning of the year, we actually had a lot of inbound interest from some pretty large firms that were pulling us into processes. I think what we didn't recognize at the time was, okay, this whole world of preempting was changing directly underneath us. And we had one partner that got us to the finish line. Ultimately, we decided that partner wasn't the right partner for us. And so we decided to regroup and think about what we were doing. And then over the course of 2022, we went out and we got to be really thoughtful about how much money did we actually need? How did we want to spend it? What are the underlying levers of the business? And we could be a lot more deliberate so that we weren't just raising money to go raise money, but we were raising money prudently to go build a high growth business. And so pretty much the investment that we received was about how do we take our R&D and we actually expand upon it. And because the rest of the business has been pretty self-sustaining. We were lucky to go out and have a number of folks come to the finish line about who we could potentially work with for the A. And we decided to go with our lead investor from the seed, Positive Sum Capital. And so Sam Cates over there led our seed round. He came back to lead our A. We brought in a number of other strategic partners as well. And now I'm happy to say we're back to building the business.
I love to hear it. So are there any ways that people in the community can be helpful to you or get further involved or, I don't know, reach out to you to try to chase the next round?
So the best way to get to know us is definitely to get to know us as a customer. It's a really fun thing about this business is you can actually experience what our software is like. You can experience how good our team is. And you can have your LPs tell you just how good it was too. So that's my first recommendation is get to know us. If you're raising, come out and talk to us and we'll help you save some money. We'll help you do this weeks or months faster than if you were to do something else. You didn't spend all this time convincing people to invest and not get them across the finish line. And then as part of our Series A, sure, we had Positive Sum come back and lead, but we also were able to bring a number of our customers directly into the round. And so we had 7 customers who decided to participate too. They'd been such big believers of the product that it was time to bring them on board as equity owners as well.
Love to hear it. With that, I want to say thank you so much for your time. We do like to close out with quick fire questions. You cool with that?
Yeah, let's do it.
Cool. So number one, what habit or belief within the last year has changed your life the most?
God, quick fire has normally got to be quick. So what's the thing I've done? Sleep routine for my children.
Wow, that's a first.
Yeah, that's number one. So then I could get some sleep. So that meant that my wife and I can actually be productive human beings.
Now you got to give a little bit of details on that. What time are they in bed? What are you like making them avoid naps so they sleep straight through the night? Or what's the...
I have a 3-year-old and I have a daughter who's almost 2. And so my wife did a fantastic job. There's this thing called taking care of babies. She identified it. And we have gotten our children so that they go down at 7 o'clock at night and they wake up around 7 o'clock in the morning. We had a nice fun little change where literally this weekend we had to go build a bed for one of our kids so that because they were climbing out of the crib. And now we're figuring out how do we actually get them to stay in a bed. It's tough to do when they don't have the reasoning capabilities of adults, but so far we're doing okay.
Wow. 12 hours uninterrupted. I like it. Okay. One thing that people believe is common knowledge, but you disagree with. A hot take, contrary view.
A hot take. God. I'm feeling pretty unprepared today for your fast five questions.
Okay, one random piece of advice.
I think drinking diet soda is good for you.
So I was with you on the parenting this one. I don't know why that's true.
So I'm sure there's lots to go back it up for why that's not the case. But for me, it's a good tasty way to get caffeine. And I don't know. There's actually some studies out there that if you take a look, like Elon Musk and Bill Gates and Warren Buffett and everybody else, groups of people that I don't think I'm being compared to, and I don't compare to myself whatsoever. They all have an addiction to diet soda, and I do too. And so for a while I tried to fight it, but I recognized that actually, if I could spend a little bit less time fighting that and just focus on anything else I need to think about, I'd have a little bit more energy to do that. And so I have no problem with Diet Coke. That said, I don't let my kids drink soda.
Yeah. Of that group, I would say, I think Warren Buffett is financially incentivized to be publicly addicted to that drink.
That is true. I don't know if he discloses his interest when he says that, but yes, I agree.
All right, cool. And then last, who would you like to see on our podcast? This is for us and by us. Your opinion is greatly valued.
There is a professor that I had at business school named Peter Fader. And he is solely responsible for changing the way that I think about customer lifetime value. And it literally changed the way that I think about building businesses, the way that I think about going to market. And whether it's the math that's involved or just the philosophies behind it, it was absolutely critical for me. And so he is my recommendation.
That is really cool. We haven't done many people who are focused on teaching about a specific skill set within investing. So if you can make that introduction, I think that'd be really helpful to the community. And we'll shout you back out for the sourcing of it.
Done.
Put another link to pass through in the newsletter when we have it.
Done. Yeah, that sounds awesome. Yeah, that's great. Love it.
Cool. Well, don't want to take too much more of your time. Sounds like you have a thriving pipeline and a large customer base to get to tend to now that you have fresh capital. We hope that everyone in the community can try you all out, and we'll be in touch soon.
Awesome. Hey, thank you so much for having me on. Really loved the conversation today and just love all the content that you put out there.
Huge thanks again to Tim for coming on this week. We hope that each of you are able to pick up something valuable from this talk. If you're looking to get in touch with Tim, we've linked his social info in the description below. And you can also find Pastor's website in the description as well. For next steps, if each of you have not submitted your info to become a member yet, you can do that through our website at www.confluence.vc. And also, if you want to become a subscriber to the newsletter, we offer a ton of free resources in there each and every week meant to help you become better at your individual roles. You can subscribe there at www.confluence.substack.com. Hope that helps. Hope to hear from y'all soon.